We got scripture reading. Anna, please. Thank you.
The scripture reading is found on the back of the programs. The scripture is John chapter 12, verses 12 through 23. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things that had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who were from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified."
ヨハネの福音書12章12節から23節。その翌日、祭りに来ていた大勢の人の群れは、イエスがエルサレムに来ようとしておられると聞いて、シュロの木の枝を取って出迎えのために出て行った。そして大声で叫んだ。ホサナ、祝福あれ、主の皆によって来られる方に、イスラエルの王に。イエスはロバの子を見つけて、それに乗られた。それは次のように書かれている通りであった。恐れるな、シオンの娘、見よ、あなたの王が来られる。ロバの子に乗って。はじめ、弟子たちはこれらのことがわからなかった。しかし、イエスが栄光を受けられてから、これらのことがイエスについて書かれたことであって、人々がその通りにイエスに対して行ったことを彼らは思い出した。イエスがラザラを墓から呼び出し、死人の中からよみがえらせたときに、イエスと一緒にいた大勢の人々はそのことの証をした。そのために群衆もイエスを出迎えた。イエスがこの印を行われたことを聞いたからである。そこでパリサイ人たちは互いに言った。どうしたのだ、何一つうまくいっていない。見なさい、世は挙げてあの人の後について行ってしまった。さて、祭りの時礼拝のために登って行った来た人々の中にギリシャ人が幾人かいた。この人たちがガリラヤの別サイダの人であるピリポのところに来て、先生、イエスにお目にかかりたいのですがと言って頼んだ。ピリポは行ってアンデレに話し、アンデレとピリポとは言ってイエスに話した。するとイエスは彼らに答えて言われた。人の子が栄光を受けるその時が来ました。
Happy New Year's!
Happy New Year!
明けましておめでとうございます。I should have asked how to say it in other languages. Those are the only two I know. Shalom. All right. Well, it's good to see all of you here. Thank you for coming, joining us. No better place to be on the first day of the year than to worship God. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I'm in the right place. We're looking at the triumphal entry of Jesus today, and I do pray that this year, 2017, will be a triumphal year for all of you as well. No prophetic word, but for those of us who's been persevering, who's been struggling, who's been hanging on, I hope all of that has been to strengthen us, not just to hold on stronger, but to be triumphant. More than conquerors, the Bible talks about. More than conquerors. That each and every one of us would be more than conquerors. Amen. That we would do all things through Him. If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen? Amen. All right. You guys have a good year? How's your year going so far? Tom told me a little bit about his years. Seems like he might have broke some resolutions off the bat. No, just kidding, Tom. Any of you guys keep resolutions, New Year's resolutions? Are you guys like that? No? Yeah? Nobody? Yeah? Anyone? Is this thing on? I don't personally keep New Year's resolutions, although, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm like, 2017, all right, fresh start, this is what I'm going to do kind of thing, but, you know how that goes. But hopefully this year will be a great year for all of you. Amen. I sincerely mean that. Let's look at our scripture passage for today, getting into the context. It said the next day, and this follows 6 days before Passover. The next day, 5 days before Passover, the crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." Usually this message is on Palm Sunday, I know. A little early for that message. However, I do think it's an appropriate message. Triumphant entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. Now the context is, during the Passover, it was one of two feasts that required Jewish families to come to Jerusalem. One of two feasts. So you could just imagine the crowd there. It was probably one of the most crowded days of the year in Jerusalem. And at that time, they heard Jesus was coming. In context, Jesus just raised Lazarus from the dead. So there was a buzz about Jesus. He raised a man from the dead, and he was dead so long that you could smell that he was dead. Nothing's ever been heard or seen like this in Israel. Perhaps this is the Messiah. And they weren't just thinking perhaps. They were pretty sure this was the Messiah as they came out to greet him, not just with speculation or with curiosity, but with palm branches. And they waved it. Usually, branches, leafy branches waved, is reserved for the second festival that everyone's supposed to be in Jerusalem, and that's Sukkot, or Feast of Booth, Feast of Tabernacles. It is a fall feast where they wave branches as a sign of thanksgiving to God. Thank you for making this a fruitful year. Now, there are prophetic implications to these festivals, these feast days. And for those of you who have been with us, have heard this on numerous occasions, but let me just remind you what these implications are. The first three feast days, they begin in the fall. Oh man, I was not ready to share this, so it's like off the cuff. I might forget some. But it's Feast of Trumpets. And Feast of Trumpets, scholars have associated the Feast of Trumpets with the second coming of Jesus. Because if you look in the book of Revelations, the trumpets are blown prior to great tribulation on earth. The second one, I believe, is the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. The third one is the Feast of Booths. Now those three have not been fulfilled yet. Four feasts has been fulfilled. Passover, that's when Jesus was crucified. Feast of Unleavened Bread, that's when, according to Paul, Jesus was in the grave, taking care of sin. The third one is the Feast of First Fruit. And Paul, again, correlates Jesus' rising from the dead and the resurrection as the first fruits. The fourth one is Pentecost, and that is fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. And so these four feast days have been fulfilled. The next three have not been fulfilled. Interestingly here, this waving of the branches is associated with the Feast of Tabernacles. Although this is supposed to be a celebration of Passover. So there could be, you know, a misunderstanding within the group. They thought this was Jesus' triumphal entry to reign as king of Israel, which he was. However, what happens to Jesus? He's rejected, crucified. So this actually was not his reigning, his coronation, if you will. This was him being crucified as an offering. He came humbly in submission to sacrifice, to fulfill not tabernacles, which is yet to be fulfilled. He came to fulfill Passover as our sacrificial lamb. Now, regardless of this possible misunderstanding, the role Jesus was going to fulfill, what they got right was that Jesus is Savior. Amen. Man, I lost you guys somewhere. Let's try. Jesus is Savior. Amen.
Amen.
The Hosanna is correct. He came to save. Amen. Amen. All right. He is Lord and King. Absolutely. Lord and King. Coming into Jerusalem. That's the context of this story. I do want to point out that there are parallels, I believe, to this story and where we are today. How precise, I'm not sure. But the parallel is that the people that were shouting Hosanna, the people in Jerusalem, could have, and perhaps should have, known that this was the time where they would see their Messiah. Could have, perhaps should have. In Luke's version of this story, Jesus weeps over Jerusalem and said, paraphrase, they did not know their time of visitation. He wept over them because they did not know it was their time of visitation. Perhaps they should have known it was their time of visitation, regardless of the signs. Now let's move on. It says in verse 14, and Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The quotation is from Zechariah 9:9. I'll read that to you. It says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. That's Zechariah 9:9. Basically, John is saying they should have known this. They should have known this prophecy, and they should have realized this prophecy was being fulfilled, unfolded before their eyes, but they didn't know until after, it tells us. Speculative. They should have known that this was the exact time that Daniel also prophesied. Again, speculative. It concerns a lot of numbers. It concerns Daniel 9, chapter 9, where he talks about the weeks, the 7 weeks. The 400 and something weeks, the 70 weeks, the 7 weeks. If you look at Daniel 9, if you study it, some have come to the conclusion that Daniel 9's prophecy about the weeks, if you measure it out, the exact date that Jesus came in 2,000 years ago was prophesied hundreds of years before by Daniel. And so speculatively, now I'm saying speculative because I've read what people have written, but, you know, I'm not a math dude. I know I look kind of like a math dude, but I'm not a math dude. They, you know, some people have charted it out and said, you know, Daniel's prophecy, according to Daniel's prophecy, 500 and something years later, this is the exact time it was prophesied that the Messiah would come in. The reason why the Jewish people missed that time was because by that time, by Jesus' time, they started allegorizing all of the prophecy and didn't take it literally. So they didn't take Daniel's prophecies literally. And the speculation is, if they did, they would have known the exact day that the Messiah would come into Jerusalem. This day has been prophesied and fulfilled. Now the parallel is that we too, as Christians, have been given many prophecies concerning His second coming. Now, I don't know why, but whenever I talk about this, do I talk about the second coming a lot? No? Yeah? No? Like, Gary and Takiko, whenever you come, it feels like I always talk about the second coming when you guys come for some reason. But maybe I just talk about it a lot. I do personally think that it's not talked about enough in the churches. I think people shy away from that kind of topic because of the blunders and many mistakes the church has made concerning the second coming. However, that is an important theme throughout the Bible, both Old and New Testament. In fact, in the New Testament, this is what Paul says, that the day of the Lord will come like a thief, but that we should not be surprised like those who are not His children. Paraphrasing Paul, 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 4, but even throughout the Bible. For the non-believers and those who don't study Scripture, it will come like a thief, it says. But for those of us who are children of the light, it shouldn't surprise us. In fact, we should be well aware and awake to these things. There are hundreds of prophecies concerning this, the second coming. Now, just like the Jewish people of Jesus' days stopped studying and stopped believing and stopped understanding and missed their time of visitation because of all of those things, perhaps we too are in danger of missing these things because of the blunders of the past, mistakes in the past, of misunderstanding Scripture. But we should not be surprised when He comes again. And He will come again. Thank you. He will come again. If you ever do a study of crowns in the Bible, one of the crowns is reserved for those who long for His second coming. That's an easy crown to get. That is an easy crown to get. long for his second coming. Moving on, it says, a crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, you see that you are gaining nothing. Look, the whole world has gone after him. The world has gone after him. Now, the Pharisees, John actually doesn't use that word a lot, the Pharisees. He actually just uses the Jews when he is talking about specific leaders who were conspiring against Jesus. And at this point, has already come to the conclusion, we must kill Jesus. And they actually said, we should also kill Lazarus too. But here, John uses, for some reason, the Pharisees. Here, they're not saying, look, the world has gone after him in a positive way. He's saying, look, the world has gone after him. We need to kill him soon. John doesn't record this, but in Luke, after this, I believe it'll be Judas. Excuse me, I paused for a little bit because I'm not sure if it's after the triumphal entry or before, but Judas will also conspire with the Pharisees to kill Jesus. Now, John points out that there were people who were able to worship Jesus as Messiah because of one reason. That those who witnessed Lazarus' resurrection started telling all of their friends, started telling anyone they could tell. They bore witness to the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Because of that, it says the people were worshiping Jesus as Messiah. I believe today we have the same responsibility to bear witness to Jesus' miraculous signs that he has performed. Whether it's signs in the past, or if you will, signs of today. Whichever you want to see that as, I believe it is important that we, you and I, bear witness to Jesus. Now, witness is simply proclaiming what they saw, or seen, or experienced. Just a side note, witnessing and sharing the good news, a little bit different than disciple making. They overlap, but they're not completely the same thing. Going back, being a witness, being a credible witness. Are you a credible witness? And are you witnessing? And I guess that assumes that we have experienced something. Are you being a witness, first of all? Have you experienced something to be a witness? You know, if there is a car accident, I don't want to hear from someone who heard from someone who heard from someone what happened. If there is a car accident, I want to hear from the eyewitness. Meaning, we are not credible witness if it's just, I know someone that hurt someone that did something. That's not a credible witness. To be a credible witness, it does require us, in some way, fashion, or form, to have experienced God in some way. And I know some of you have, in a powerful way. Credible witness also has to do with character as well. I don't want to hear from a notorious liar what happened. Character counts. You know, I understand the blood of Jesus covers all our sins and, you know, we're forgiven, but character sure counts to be a good witness. Here we see that there are witnesses to Jesus' power of raising Lazarus from the tomb, and for that reason, people were gathering to worship him, bringing out palm branches. Hosanna. This is the Messiah. Regardless of if they knew scripture or not, they were getting it right. This was the Lord and King of Israel and of the world. This last part is interesting. Verse 20. It says, among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them. This is an interesting response to some Greeks has come to see Jesus. Jesus answered them, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Isn't that an interesting answer? The hour has come. Jesus hears news. Andrew comes with Philip. And I don't know, it was this relay. They told Philip. Philip came and told Andrew. And then Andrew and Philip told Jesus. Hey, some people, some Greeks, they want to know what you're all about. And Jesus says, it's time. Isn't that interesting? No, just me. It was already the time of their visitation, right? It was already the day of the Lord. Amen? But then something happened where it says the hour has come. Something set it off. The hour has come. And that time started to click. Boom. It would go really fast. Death and resurrection of Jesus. Less than a week for all of that to happen. Less than 10 days. If I have, again, I'm not a math guy, so I'm like calculating in my head, oh, I should give myself a little bit more buffer. Less than 2 weeks. Less than 14 days. Before that. I don't want to use dispensation, but for a dispensation. For the time to shift. It was now a new day after 2 weeks. Nothing, everything has changed after those 2 weeks. Now, concerning where we are, disclaimer, I'm not saying we're in the end of the world. Before someone get that next step, right? Because I've talked about, you know, the last days and things to look for, and people have come and said, oh, Aki thinks it's the end of the world. That's not what I'm saying. Please don't misunderstand me. Let me repeat. I'm not saying it's the end of the world. That's not what I'm saying. However, I am saying is we should be able to discern where we are. Perhaps a little bit better than what we're doing now. And in our discernment, if we can discern where we are, certainly our lives should reflect it in some ways. Yes? You know, if the doctor said you have 1 week to live, would you live your life differently? Maybe, some of us, maybe not. I had end of the world story. My friend, I heard from someone who told me from someone, my friends, parents apparently got caught up in all of this end of the world's going to end belief. And this was back in, I heard the story back in the late 90s. Before the 90s. But what they ended up doing is they wholeheartedly believed that it was going to be the end of the world soon. They just maxed out their credit cards. They maxed out their credit cards. And it never came. Unfortunate story. So don't go maxing out your credit card. That's not what I mean. I'm not saying it's the end of the world. Go max out your credit card. Do, you know, all the things you wanted to do before you die. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the King is coming. So don't go and live in debauchery, but start living in holiness and righteousness. Start living in the fear of the Lord that He is coming. Get things right with who you need to get things right with. Amen? No? No? Amen? Come on, somebody. Yeah. Because biblically, we've been living in the last days. Paul has been saying that for 2,000 years. Paul realized that we've been living in the last days. Now, what's going to set it off, where the hour has come? I'm not sure. Probably the revelation or the revealing of the Antichrist will set it off. The Antichrist. Perhaps, speculatively, the revealing of temple sacrifice in Jerusalem, where the Jewish people could start sacrificing in Jerusalem again. Perhaps that will set it off where the hour has come. Now, if you don't know, people in Jerusalem already have everything in place. They have replicated the altar. They have replicated everything. I believe they even appointed a high priest. Just so when it is legally permissible for them to start sacrificing, they have someone in place to sacrifice. When those things start happening, I want you to be aware those are fulfillments of some ancient prophecy spoken of in Daniel. Same guy. Happy New Year, guys. 2017. Again, I do hope that this year is a year of victory for you. Triumphal entry of Jesus in your life. Seeing Christ move powerfully. Being eyewitnesses of what God is doing in your life. Simply that. This is what God has done. And it's so amazing, I cannot help but share it. And making disciples of all nations. May this year be a blessed year for you. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you. We thank you for Jesus coming in to Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, not to be coronated as king, but to be sacrificed for our sins. Eyes wide open, knowing that he would be rejected and sacrificed, he still humbly came as a sacrificial servant, the Lamb of God, worthy to be praised. Hosanna, Lord. Father, we ask that you would come soon. Jesus, when you come, we know that you would restore all things. We know, Lord, that when you come, hearts will change. Eyes will be open. We ask, Father, that we won't miss the hour and the time of our visitation. That we will be vigilant and diligent in seeing your return. Waiting for you, Lord. We thank you. Jesus' mighty name, amen. Today we are going to partake in communion.